Hey, special educators. Welcome to Teach Chatbox Inspire, the podcast dedicated to making your job as a special education teacher easier by making your instruction more fun for you and your students. Inside each episode, you'll learn how to get the most use out of your task boxes in the classroom. I'm your host, Lisa Holiday from Chalkboard Superhero, a veteran special education teacher passionate about empowering you with purposeful teaching strategies, helpful tips and tricks, and other classroom management tools that will help you thrive in your role. Let's get started with today's episode. Hey there, special educators, and welcome back to another episode of Teach Taskbox Inspire. I'm your host, Lisa Holiday, and today I want to chat all about handling student aggression. So let's talk about situations where students are displaying extreme or high frequency aggression. Our jobs are challenging when there is zero student aggression. So when you throw in some extreme behaviors in the mix, it suddenly becomes a real hot mess. These instances can happen in our classroom because not all of our students have great means of communication. Remember that all behavior is communication. Kicking, punching, hitting, kicking, slapping. It's all communicating something really, really loudly to you. So in these scenarios where you have this type of aggression, it makes our jobs go from hard to almost unbearable at times. It is so extremely challenging. If you've been there, you're nodding your head. These situations are draining on our mental well-being as well as our physical health. And then we can get to the point where we actually hate our job and we want to resign from a job that we once loved. So today I want to chat about some overall tips that you can use. You need to write a behavior plan separate from this. These are only tips that you can use in these situations. This is not something that you can just take as I'm saying them and use them in your behavior plan or your BIPs or whatever crisis management plan that you're writing. I am simply just giving you some tips, overall tips that you can use in any of these situations. So the first thing I want to talk to you about are two very important guiding principles. These aren't necessarily steps, but more of like a mindset that you need to have when dealing with these behaviors. The first thing that you're going to want to understand and recognize is that this is somebody's child, somebody's baby. They are someone's whole entire world. They have a mom and a dad, and they're actually human beings. We have to respect them. You know, I always keep in the back of my head that this is someone else's baby. What would I do if it was my own son or daughter? And if you've been following me, you know that I have a special needs son. He has Down syndrome and he is a ham, but he can be challenging at times. But all I can think about, if this was my son, I would want him to be treated a certain way. So the other mindset that you need to be thinking about is that this child is absolutely communicating something to you. Something. Some of these behaviors are so very loudly saying something. All of that kicking, screaming, disrobing, punching, biting, defecating, urinating, all of those behaviors, all of them are saying something. When students are resorting to these types of aggressive behaviors, you know, this anger, and to know that this is the only way that they can get what they need or what they want across, it makes me so sad. All I can think of is, oh my goodness, these kids must be so exhausted, so tired. They must feel hopeless and frustrating. I know that my son is also low verbal, but when he was younger, he was nonverbal and he didn't have any other way to communicate. All I can think about is him with his mouth taped shut. And what I would do if my mouth was taped shut and I couldn't communicate those needs. So we need to find out a way for these students to communicate those needs. So every time we approach these situations, every time, we have to figure out the why. We have to figure out what the function of the behavior is. And before you start any intervention, you are going to need to collect data. Now, I know some of you are like, ugh, the data. Yes, you have to figure out what the behavior is trying to communicate so that you can choose a correct function-based intervention. An intervention that will make those aggressive behaviors decrease. Because guess what? If you don't take data and you just go ahead and do interventions that are not function-based, you may actually make those behaviors worse. And you guys, you do not want the behavior to get any worse. You can't just randomly say things like, well, maybe I'll try planned ignoring, or maybe I'll just try a timeout. You might be making the behaviors even worse. Make sure that you are really taking that thorough ABC data beforehand. You also need to be collecting this data throughout the interventions as well. I want you to make sure that you're making progress, right? You're going to try a brand new intervention. You want to make sure that it's actually working. So if you start out with, 45 punches a day in September, and in December, the child's only having 9 punches a day, then yay, we've made some progress. But if you never collect data in the first place, how do you know that you're even making any progress? And I get it. It's really hard to take data, especially as those behaviors are occurring. Do the best you can, but don't skip this step. And of course, safety first. Sometimes we don't know what the right decisions are when the tensions are high and we're not thinking correctly and we want to make sure that all the students and the staff in the room are safe. Above all, make sure that you're keeping you and your students safe, please. So if that means you need to spend most of your attention and energy on developing a fantastic behavior plan to reduce those aggressive behaviors, then so be it. It will not be like this forever. It's just for the right now. I know it seems like you're ignoring some of your other students, but that's okay. You'll get back to them. You are doing what you can to keep everyone safe. Yes, behind the scenes, you're advocating for more help. You're advocating for maybe a different placement. You're advocating for more paraprofessionals, more everything, right? Behind the scenes, you are doing everything you can in your power to keep everyone safe and still advocating for that child. But all you can focus on in this scenario is that the student needs to decrease those behaviors. Now, I know you might be in the thick of it. Maybe you are in the thick of it. Let's talk really quick about that. I've been there so many times. You're not alone. You need to give yourself some grace. It's not your fault that these students are having a hard time. You also need to prioritize self-care. You need to make sure that you know how to handle your stress in a healthy way. Maybe yoga, a long walk. Those are not my preferred, but I say them anyways. Reading a good book, something I love to do. Or maybe even getting a massage, something I always do, are all great ways to make sure that you're taking care of yourself outside of the workplace. Because guess what? If you don't fill up your cup, you're not going to be able to give much in the classroom, especially if you take the work home. If you're going home and you feel drained and you're not taking care of yourself, now, I know sometimes this can be really hard. I get it. I have 3 kids. I also have to give to. But if you return the next day on an empty cup, you will burn out so fast. Sometimes it feels like such an impossible task, especially as a newbie teacher. But I have to argue the fact that as sometimes veteran teachers, it feels even more difficult. And I'll tell you why. Because we walk into these situations with, some sort of magic wand that we should already know how to handle the situation. I have 16 years of experience, but still feel like a new teacher when I'm in those situations. And let me tell you what, I feel that way right now. I just accepted a new job in a new district, building a brand new autism classroom from scratch. Now, I am recording this episode in February, and so I start right after our February break. 6 students, all with very, very needy behaviors. All of these kids were waiting for a brand new program to open because there was just nothing in this district for them. And so I am starting this room from scratch, and it comes with a lot of behaviors. And so you can understand my nervousness, I guess you would say, because I have 16 years of experience, but the pressure's on because people keep telling me as I'm setting up the classroom, "Oh, I'm so grateful for you. You're going to do amazing." And I'm like, "Oh my goodness. The bar is set high for me. Now listen, I don't have a magic wand. I have a lot of knowledge I'm going to try, but man, I feel the pressure and it is heavy." So there's just, you know, certain situations or certain students that just bring me back to day one where I feel like a newbie teacher. Now, I have to take my own advice after my very first week next week, and I have to be kind to myself. I have to take care of myself. You know, many years ago, I had a student that was really, really struggling. I wasn't sleeping. I was gaining weight. I was put on medication. But I was super stressed out, so I had to make sure that I was also taking care of myself. I really started creating boundaries and leaving work at work so as not to feel that burnout. Sometimes I feel really guilty for leaving a lot of things at the door, but really I needed to focus on my own mental health. All right, let's talk about the last thing, which is the team. We need to talk about how we take care of our paraprofessionals. I need you guys to take the time out to reflect with your team. They need lots of great feedback and praise too. You need to have meetings to say what went right, what went wrong. Don't let your staff be ignored. Make sure they are seen and how they're working so very hard all day, every day. This conversation can lead to venting and, you know, like bitching about your day. Yes, I swore my podcast, but you, as a leader of your team, do not vent to your staff. And I know sometimes this can be super hard, but you have to be a leader. Save that for home. Set the example of positivity and problem solving. You don't want to live in, you know, constantly complaining about the situation, especially if that complaining doesn't turn into problem solving. You want to make sure that you're, you know, pivoting and turning the conversation around and making sure that you're coming back on what to do about the students. So again, remember, safety first, the student needs function-based interventions, and don't forget all of those behaviors are ways to communicate. Also, make sure you treat your students with dignity and keeping them safe. Do not talk about the child in front of the child. This is one of the biggest pet peeves of mine, but so many people come into my classroom and they start talking about the student right in front of the student, and I'm kind of like, shh, and I kind of like point away from the student to kind of have a sidebar conversation, and I say, you know, they can still hear you. They're not deaf. So anyways, I know it gets frustrating, but remember, this is someone's baby, someone's child. So until next time, bye-bye. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Teach Taskbox Inspire. I hope you've gained some tips and motivation to fuel your week ahead. If you're ready to explore more strategies for empowering your students as independent learners, be sure to dive into my free training at chalkboardsuperhero.com/training. And don't keep all this knowledge to yourself. Share this episode with your special education teacher friends who could use some motivation and inspiration. One more thing before you go. If you're finding this podcast helpful and want to show support, head to Apple Podcasts and leave your rating and review. Until next time, keep teaching, taskboxing, and inspiring.